All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another success webinar. I guess this is going to be more of a classroom style webinar. There's only a few slides that we're going to go over today, but it's going to be more of a hands-on type demo. I'm really excited to share this with you because this is probably one of the greatest things that's built into WordPress, the fact of child themes. And we're going to dive into what that means and how we can use them and how we can set them up and what happens if we don't use child themes. And the tagline kind of is never modify a parent theme again. I know that I am 100% guilty of doing this. You know, you get started on a project and you're like, oh, I can just go ahead and modify this theme and I can modify this and modify that. But that is not the way to go. And so today we're going to talk about the proper way to make adjustments to your WordPress theme and really make sure it's future-proof, make sure that it will never get erased if some sort of update comes out and things along those lines. So those are some key points that I want to talk about today. Now, we do have a chat room this morning. It's going to be a little bit different than just the chat room when it comes to the question section, that box that's in the right-hand corner or the box that's that you're using for GoToWebinar. And so if you want to chat, head over to chat.yourwebsiteengineer.com. And no www in front of that, just chat.yourwebsiteengineer.com. And then on the right side, you'll see an area to log in, and you can use your username as your first name and last name, capital letters on your first name, capital letters on your last name, and then the password for everyone is child. So for example, for me to log in, it is Dustin Hartzler, and then the password is child. And I've got a good friend, Adam, over there. He will be kind of moderating those comments. Go ahead and ask those questions as they come along, and I'll make sure that I check in there every once in a while, and we'll make sure that those questions are answered. As it stands right now, I cannot see that screen based on my setup when I'm in the PowerPoint presentation. So be sure to just answer any questions, ask any questions you do have, and I'll get to those as soon as the presentation part is over. If you have any questions about logging in, there is a link there that you can click on to send Adam an email message. He's got all the usernames and passwords just in case something goofy is going on. You've got the ability to go through and look at that. So that is something I want to share with you today. And then there'll be so any questions that you may have, we're going to try to run it through this. And this is going to give a little bit more of interactivity so you can reply to other people's comments as well. And so it's just going to be I'm just trying to have a more community-oriented webinar here with the GoToWebinar controls. I really don't get that ability. It's just the questions segment and there's no chat room. So I wanted to kind of do something kind of new that is running on WordPress, of course, and it is using a P2 theme is what it's called. And this is actually what the folks over at Automattic use when they are collaborating with each other. It's kind of like a micro blogging type thing. So we're going to go ahead and try it. Adam and I tried it out yesterday. I think it's going to work really well for today's session. So first, I want to describe what child themes are. And, you know, so let's first, I guess we need to step back a second and we need to talk about what a parent theme is. So any theme that you use, so whether that be like a thesis or genesis or a framework of that sort, or if you go out to Woo Themes and buy a theme, or if you go to themeforest.net and buy a theme, or if you just download a theme from wordpress.org, one of the free ones, those are what are called parent themes. And what we're going to learn today is child themes. And they are, quote unquote, the professional way to modify WordPress themes. And Matt Mullenweg, who is the co-founder of WordPress, said child themes are the only way that you should build WordPress site on top of another theme. And so this goes for any theme that you buy or, you know, come across. If you want to make any sort of change, whether that be just a slight CSS adjustment, maybe you want to restructure what a page looks like, anything that you do should be done in a child theme. And this blew my mind. I was like, oh, that's a lot of work. Trust me, it's not a lot of work, and it's very safe, and it's very simple, and it's the best way to develop websites and themes. So it basically, how it works is it inherits all of the functions, the CSS, the design features from a parent theme. So basically, if you just set up a child theme, which we'll do here in a second, and we do nothing, your theme will look exactly the same. If you make slight adjustments to your child theme, it's going to make your entire site look different. So basically, it's basically like, I'm trying to think of a good example here of what a child theme is like. So say, for example, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but like a parent theme, say, is running on your website, and then you put a child theme kind of on top of it. And so how that works is when it's on top, it's going to be the default style and the default everything. So for our example, we'll be using 2011 as our real world example here in just a couple minutes. And we can create the look that we want that won't get overwritten if the theme gets updated. So for example, in this example that we're going to be showing today, I have an old version of 2011, and I'm going to show you when I make changes to the core files themselves, the core theme, what's going to happen is we'll make those changes and then we'll update the site and then we will lose those changes because everything will be overwritten. And so we don't want that. We don't want to spend hundreds of hours getting our site to look just perfect. And then maybe something in the theme breaks, maybe like some sort of JavaScript needs updated, or maybe some sort of feature with the mapping system, or you know, something that's built into the theme needs updated. The WordPress developer fixes it, rolls it out, and you click update. And now all of a sudden, everything that you had saved inside that theme, that child, or inside that parent theme is now completely gone. It's incredible, like all that work and angst and wow. So we're going to be developing with child themes. So here's a couple reasons as well. It's easy to update, you know, those parent themes when they come out. It's easy to restore. And so like if you needed to, you know, it's just super easy to restore anything that you have, because the main reason is you know what you've changed. You know, if I work on a website a year, or like right now today, and then a year from now, a customer comes to me and says, hey, can you, you know, I need these tweaks done, and can you update my theme as well while you're in there? Well, I have no idea what stuff I tweaked a year ago. Like that's a complete pain to try to figure out. And then you've got to, open up all the files in the themes, and you've got to match them, you know, left and right screen. And you're trying to figure out where any changes are. It's a complete pain and a hassle. So child themes is indeed the best way to go. So how the file structure works, and I'll show you all this, of course, in the live demo, but the functions.php file will actually load before your parent's functions.php. So it's basically just adding your code at the top, and that's how that works. Any other file type, so anything that's a single.php, a page.php, an index.php, that's going to overwrite the default style. So say, for example, you wanted your single blog post to look completely different. So like when you click on an excerpt of a blog post from the homepage, maybe it takes you to a single page, but you want it to look completely different. What we would do is we would create a single.php page, and then we can modify it and tweak it however we wanted. And then that's going to be the default look and feel of those pages. And I'll show you that as well. And this is a perfect way for creating custom templates. So if maybe your theme doesn't have a 404.php page, then you can add that to your child theme, and it's going to automatically just start working. It's really kind of cool. And once you get your head wrapped around it, I know it's a little bit difficult as I'm describing it on the screen here in a PowerPoint presentation, but I think it's very, very valuable and very, very, I think you'll get it once we get into the live demo part. So let's create this child theme. I'm going to show you some screenshots on what we're going to do, and then we're going to go ahead and actually do it. So what we need to do is we need to create a new folder, and everything that I'm going to be doing today is running locally on my computer, and you could do this while you're developing a website on a server somewhere, and you just have to do everything that I'm doing in an FTP client rather than just a Explorer window or a Finder window. So basically what we want to do is we want to create a new folder, and you can name this directory anything that you like. And these screenshots are just a little bit outdated. You actually can't start it with a number for some reason. I'm not sure exactly why it doesn't like that. So the screenshots will show that it's a 2011 underscore theme, but everything else, when we do it in the live demo, I'll call it 2011 underscore child. And so you'll see that as well. Then what we need to do is we need to create one full file. For a child theme to work, you only need a minimum of one file, and that is a style.css file. And that is just your base styling, and you need this code pasted at the top of it. Of course, you will get this code, will be part of the replay that you can watch later, and you can copy and paste it so you don't have to, you know, memorize it all. But let's take a look at it just real, real quickly. So the theme name is basically whatever the theme is called, and that's usually the same file as that's the same name as what your folder you just named is. The theme URI, you can call whatever. A description, you can call it that whatever. The author is obviously your name, and then the author URI is another, you know, just a link. And then the template, this is the most important part. You need to call the template for the parent theme. So if you're using thesis, you know, 1.8, you know, you would put thesis 1.8 in this spot. And then you can version this thing. If you want to have, you know, a version one of your child theme or a version two or three or, you know, whatever, then you can add additional comments if you like. And then you close all of that. So you can see that this is all kind of a comment by, because it's wrapped in a slash and then an asterisk. And then at the bottom, you can see the at import URL and then /2011-style.css. And I'll show you this too in the live demo. But what this is doing is this is actually pulling in the style sheet from the parent theme. And if you don't do that, then you'll never get any of the styling. Your website will look completely broken because you'll have absolutely zero styling. So how this works is when your child theme is called, it's first going to call all of the styles that are in the main theme. So it'll call every single thing. So your site's going to look identical. And then it's going to any customizations that you put below this, that will overwrite anything that's above it. The way the CSS works is it reads it top to bottom. And if you are declaring something at the top and you redeclare it at the bottom one is going to be what actually is displayed. And so that is how the CSS, the style.css file works. Then what we do is we will go into our dashboard and we'll be able to see that there is a there's an area to add a 2011 child theme, and you'll be able to activate it. You can see that I don't have a screenshot here, so it looks kind of goofy. It's just blank, but we go ahead then and activate it. At this point, nothing will have changed on our site. It should look exactly the same because we are not doing anything custom yet, but that's the process. You're just working through the process of activating our new child theme. So like I said, your site will be identical. We haven't modified any code yet, so everything's going to look exactly the same. And then if we want to make a change, I use a tool sometimes called Firebug. There's another one that's built into Chrome. That's the Chrome Developer Tools. We'll get to look at that here in just a few minutes. And you can look to find which code its current property. So in this example here, we are looking at the site title, and we want to change that color from 1111 to maybe something that's maybe a different color. So maybe blue or red or green. And I'll show you this. This one's really hard for me to try to explain with just slides. And then what we want to do is we would go in and we would take that ID that's in the style sheet, and we would paste that into our new style.css, and then it would automatically update and change in our child theme, which is now running on our website. So we'll show you this in just a second as well. And then another thing that you can do, if you really want to, you can add a screenshot. Basically what you need to do is you just can take a screenshot of your website once it's kind of done. This is usually a step that's very last. And what you do is you just call it screenshot.png and put that right in your theme folder, in that child theme folder that we just created, and it will automatically appear and show up on your website. So you'll be able to see what your website looks like. And of course, you know, this is very hard to do as well, because it will occasionally, you know, like you might update your site, you'll want to update this screenshot.png file, and we'll look at that as well. So the last thing that I want to share before we get into the live demo is maybe we want to make a page look completely different, or we want, you know, one part of our site to look completely different than the main template. So what we would do is we would look, for example, let's go to, we'll take page.php. We will take that file and we will copy that page and we will paste it into the child theme folder, and then we can start modifying away. And so we could take out the comments if we wanted to. We could add a sidebar. We could make it look, you know, we could put a background on it. We could do whatever we wanted. But then that's going to overwrite the default of our parent theme. And I'll show you that as well. So now we're going to get into the live demo part. This is the most exciting part. I think this is going to really kind of highlight what we're doing and really kind of give you a better understanding of how this whole thing works. So we can see here, we are running on localhost. This is just on my website or on my computer, it's running. So you can't really play with it live as I'm doing this, but this is my website. This is just a standard 2011 theme. There's not much going on here. So there's really nothing that at all. First, I want to show you how we can target different things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how we can change the CSS maybe of this copy up here, or, you know, maybe this will change something. And then I'm going to show you what happens when, and I'm going to change it directly inside of the directly inside the 2011 theme, and then I'm going to show you what happens when I update the theme. So things won't look very, it won't be a good idea. So what we're going to do is there's two ways to do this. You can use a tool called Firebug, and it looks like I've disabled Firebug here for the second, but Firebug and Chrome Developer Tools, they do the exact same thing. I will showcase Chrome Developer Tools. It is very simple to use and look at. Let's see if I always use the command line here, or the I always use a keyboard shortcut to get it up. But if you go to View and then Developer and then View, it's Developer Tools. And on a Mac, it is Command Option I. And basically what this does is this allows you to find specific elements on your site that you want to target and to change. So say, for example, we want to change, we want to change the size of this right here. Maybe we, for some reason, we want to make this modification. What we want to do is we'll click on this little eyeglass down here at the bottom, and we can click on any element right here, and it's going to pull up all the CSS that we have for that element. So, for example, if I went over here to on the right-hand side, I can say actually font size, and then I can change this to like 40 pixels. And you can see that it's going to make that 40 pixels in height, and it's going to just make it super big. And nobody else can see this, you know, so if I'm doing this on a live website somewhere, this is all just rendering it right here in my browser. This is a perfect way to go in and tweak and try to figure out, okay, do I need it that big? Maybe 32 is the right font. And then maybe, let's see, if I'm wondering what kind of color is going to look good, I can double click here. Okay, anyways, you can add as many CSS adjustments as you want in here. There we go. So say I wanted to do color, I could say color and I could say blue. And so now that turns it blue, very simply, very easily. Now what we want to do is we want to actually modify this in our theme itself. So we can see that the style that we want to work on is just the P tag. So it is just the paragraph tag. And so we should be able to find that in the style.css, and that's going to be online 342. And so there's a couple ways to do this. I'm going to show you how I normally do things. I open up a program called Sublime Text, and we will open up the 2011 theme in Sublime Text. We will go to the style.css page. And then if we scroll down to line 342, we will get right here. We will see here's the text element. We are going to change the font size to, we're going to change that to 32 pixels. And we're going to do color, and I'm going to do red so we can see the difference. And then we save that. And if we go back to our site and we do a refresh, we're going to see that indeed our site has changed and it is red. And it didn't, for some reason, did not. Oh, because I did not put 32 pixels, which is something that you need. And now we should refresh and we'll be able to see that, yes, indeed, our text is much bigger and it looks, you know, so we've made that change. Obviously, we're not going to make our text, you know, 32 point in red, but it's just to illustrate that's how we can make the change. And so I just opened up the theme file. I made that adjustment within the theme itself. So I modified the 2011 theme to make it work how I wanted it to. Now, what happens though when I go over to manage themes and it says there is a new version of the 2011 theme available? So it says update now, or I could view the details. So if I go ahead and click on update now, it's going to download. It's going to, so it enables the maintenance mode, it removes the old theme, and then it adds the new theme back. So now if we go back and we do a refresh, we can see that all of my hard work, all 2 minutes that I just spent getting that to be 32 points and red, is completely gone. I've lost all that time. So that's why we need to create child themes, because if we would have put that information in a child theme, that wouldn't have happened and we would have been okay and it wouldn't have overwritten our content. So let's go ahead and create that child theme. So we'll go back into the Finder. I'm using Mac, of course, and you can do this again if you're developing on the Windows side. You can use this, or you can run on your use the same steps in FTP client or an FTP server, and you'll be doing the exact same thing, but just on a server instead of on your local computer. So the first thing I want to do is I want to add a new folder. That folder is going to be called 2011, and then I'll call that child. So it's going to be 2011 child. And remember, I needed that folder. I needed a file inside of that. So I'm going to go ahead and open this up in Sublime Text. So we've got this going, and then I'm going to create a new, I'll open a new tab, and this is going to be style.css inside of here. And I'm going to, I've got a, text expander expression already filled out just so I didn't have to type out all that information so I could save a little bit of time this morning. But basically, we are calling the theme name is called 2011_child. We've got the URL. We're just calling it's a custom child theme. You know, all the basic stuff. This is the important one, remember, is the template is 2011, and then it's version 1.0, and we're importing the 2011 style information. So I'm going to go ahead and save that. That is going to be saved in the 2011 child theme, and I'm going to call that style.css. If we hit save, we'll get a little color because of the way that Sublime Text works. So that's nice. So we can see that real nice and easy. But then if we go back over to Google Chrome and we look at our themes, let's go back to our themes area. We should see that indeed we do have now a 2011 child theme. And if we activate this, we can activate this and we can take a look at our site, and it's going to look exactly the same because we've done nothing. There has been no changes that we've made to our theme or to this child theme. So what we want to do is we'll go back to Sublime Text so we can look at our code a little bit. Now, remember what the code was that I changed on the last one? It was a p tag, and I can go ahead and I can add those same things again. So I said text, or I said font size was 32 pixels, and I said color was red. And now if I save these, again, if you're doing this on an FTP client, if you're working locally, you'll have to upload these to your server so you can see these changes. That's one of the beauties of running locally on your machine. And then you can refresh, and we can see now that we do have exactly what we thought we did. But now if we would go and, you know, change themes or delete themes and update, it's going to work perfectly. There's going to be no fear of us losing any content whatsoever. And so the big thing is we want to remember, the big point is if we want to change something, so maybe we are on the, maybe we want this proudly powered by WordPress. Maybe we don't want that, maybe we don't want that black. Maybe we want that blue or green or red or something. So what we'd want to do is we want to go up to the developer tools again, view developer tools, and then we can scroll up. We're going to click on the little button down here in the lower left-hand corner, and we will say proudly powered by WordPress. We can click on that, and we can see that we can see that here is the CSS source code for that thing that's on the page. So it's a link. And so if we wanted to, we could change this right here on the web page to green if we wanted to, and we could see that it's changed to green. Now, what I like to do, and this is kind of a cheater's way to do this, it's really kind of cool and really simple. So say we wanted to, we'll leave this as font weight bold, but what you can do is you can actually highlight this. You can highlight this text just like this, and then you can go back to Sublime Text, and you can just paste that in just like that. And I'm going to change this to yellow just for the sake of us to see it. And then if you go back over to your site and do a refresh, obviously you can't see it because it's yellow, but you could see that it's taken that property that we've added and it's made that the default property. So I think that's really powerful, and it's really kind of cool. So we can go through and it's kind of slow to target things like this, but that's the best way, the easiest, fastest way to make adjustments to a theme or a file that you didn't write yourself, because you never know what other people call their IDs and their classes and their tags and stuff like that. Now, say for example, we want our contact page. Let's see what we got going on our contact page. Okay, we had a Gravity Form ID on here. It's nothing that exciting. So there's nothing that's really going on here that's, you know, really cool. But maybe we want to, maybe we don't want to allow comments, for example. So what we want to do is we want to modify the page.php file from our parent theme. Okay, so let's go back over to Sublime Text, and I'm actually going to open up. That was a quick keyboard shortcut I just did there. I am now looking at the style dot, or this is the 2011 parent theme that I'm looking at right now. What I want to do is I want to go into the, it's called page.php, and I am going to go ahead and I'll just copy all of this text, and then I'll go back over to our other project. This is our child theme project that I'm working on right at this second, and what I'll do is I'll open a new tab, and I will paste in all of this information, and I'll call this page.php. and I will use PHP. So remember at the bottom of this page, and sorry if this is a lot of back and forth, but remember there is this leave a reply section down here at the bottom of this page. If we go and we remove the comments template that says that's said true, or maybe we can even leave that and call that false if we want. I'm a big proponent of getting rid of code. It makes websites run faster. But if we go ahead and remove that and then save, I'm doing a command S, which is a save. We can go back over to our site, do a refresh, and now that piece of that site is gone. If maybe on this page it had a sidebar on it, we could remove that formatting, we could remove that styling if we wanted to. Say, for example, maybe we wanted to change what the contact, how that was displayed. We could go back over to our theme. We could see that, we could just put, we could put a div tag in here if we wanted to. We could do div, and we could do style. And we could make any sort of changes that we wanted, you know, to the text in here. So there's a lot of things that you could do, and it's really, really powerful, but it could be, and I can understand where it could be just a little bit confusing as well as we're building. And it's really, you have to kind of evaluate what the theme's doing and then go and try to find where that is and you can remove it. So sometimes what I used to do is go into, say, for example, if I was still in this example in the child themes, like I was like, oh, well, I don't need comments anymore. I can just comment that thing out. So if I go here and then a keyboard shortcut on my Mac will allow me to comment out, I guess I can go like this. And I can comment out that it's going to do the exact same thing, but the code's still there just in case I need it again someday. Well, the best way to do it is use a child theme and then just remove the code entirely. Your website's going to load faster. It's just going to work a lot better. So the last thing that I want to show you while we're here, and then we'll go ahead and start diving into some questions. Let's go back over to the homepage, and I want to show you how to add that screenshot. Now, again, the screenshot is not that big a deal. It doesn't have to be done. It's just an extra thing that you can do as part of your child theme, but it looks nice sometimes, you know, like if you're building something for a client, you want them to, you know, be able to stumble upon, you know, a nice looking page or a nice looking image so they know what exactly they're doing and what they're working on. So let's go ahead, and what I do here on the Mac, and you can use any type of tools that you need, but if on my computer, if I do Shift Command 4, I can highlight things and I can take a screenshot of whatever I want. And you can do this with Sketch if you want, or, you know, take a print screen and then crop it or do whatever you want. But this is the easiest way that I found. If we don't want to do that, well, that's kind of cool, but I do not want to do that. And then I will go to my Finder. I know that hanging out on my desktop is going to be that image. It's right here. And then you just call this screenshot.png. And then we put that in the 2011 child theme folder. So the one that we've been working on, the one that we've created. And then if we go back over to manage themes, if we do a refresh, we should see that indeed that has been updated. And there it is. There is the image. And again, if you make adjustments, you want to update those screenshots as well. But it just knows that style or screenshot.png is exactly what it's looking for. And if it doesn't see that, it's going to display nothing. So if we deactivated that, say we wanted to activate the 2013 theme, that's going to show us a little image down here. Now, of course, we're still working with the child theme, so let's go ahead and add that back. And I'm going to dive in and answer any questions that you may have, or if anything seemed unclear, I can go through and I can really help you walk through the process of that. So let's go ahead and look over the question. So the first one I see is from Charlie. Says, wouldn't taking something out like the comments on the page.php take it out on all pages, not just the contact page? Yes, indeed. It will take it out on all pages because that is a page.php. Let's say, for example, we wanted to, and I wasn't planning on covering this, but we can go ahead and do that. That's not a big deal. We can create templates so that maybe we only wanted no comments on let's say we don't want any comments on the contact page, but we want the contact or we want the comments everywhere else. So if we were back in, let's see, go back to Sublime Text. Let's go to the right project here. And we want to, let's back up here. So we have everything like it was. This is how this thing was set up before. Now what we want to do is if we want to create a template, and this is something that's kind of new, and it's all about when you're developing themes, but we can create a new page. So we'll do this and we'll take all of this code. Whoops. We will take all of this code, we will paste it into this new thing, and since it's a template, what we want to do is we actually need to do, we need to say template name, and for this example, this is going to be contact page without comments. So we'll just call it this. We will save this. We'll be called page-contact. PHP. Contact C, that's going to work. And then what we can do is we can go back over to our site. We can go to our pages, all pages. We can go to the contact page. And then we can use the template, and we're going to call the contact page without comments. We'll do an update here. And of course, I didn't actually take the code out. So we can take this code out here. We can save this and then go back over here. We'll look at this page to see what that looks like. And we can see that indeed there's no comments here. But if we would go and create a new page, say we created a about me page, and then I just put some text in there. We'll use the default template. We'll publish that. We can go to view, and the comments and the replies are there. So that's how you build a template within the, so the page.php will control all pages unless you state otherwise. So that's the default. But if you wanted to create a specific template for a specific page, you would do exactly what I just did. So to recap, that is taking all the code from page.php. Then we created we copied that, we pasted that into page-contact.com or .php. And then we went in and we removed any information that was there. So, but we had to call the template name. You have to put this in, this is actually just a comment that's at the top of the PHP file, and WordPress knows to look for anything after template name. It knows that it's okay, that's going to take the title of that, and that will turn it into the drop-down menu when it comes to your website. So if we go back to our about page, or back to our contact page, we can see that we've selected the template name over here. And those things will only show up if those are part of the theme. So some themes may have template files built in. Others might have their own templating system built in. So that's how you would make a change so that only one specific page is affected by the templates that you've just created in your child theme. Great question. Does the copied file follow the same directory structure as the parent theme? Robert asked. Yes, that does. If you can, however the file or however the theme, the main parent theme is set up, that is exactly the same way. So say for example, if we wanted to change the colors, something that's in the color, for this specific example in this theme, there's just one folder, I guess there's some includes. So maybe we want to change one of these files. Maybe we want to change the theme options or, you know, something along those lines. What we would do in our child theme is we would put we would need to add an include, an INC, and then we would call that same file the exact same, whatever it was called over here. So if we wanted to change or modify, and the easiest way that I always like to do this, the theme options, say for example, I always like to just copy that. So I can click and drag, and I can copy that into here. And then that's when I start modifying things. And so everything's going to stay the same until you actually start modifying. Perfect question. Thanks, Robert. How does the main theme know to use a child theme? That's a great question as well, Marianne. The main way that it knows is this line of code right here. Basically, right there, it says template, and then you call the template for the file name that, for the folder name of your, of the template that you want to modify. So that's how it knows what the parent theme is. And I've tried, and I don't believe that it's possible without an extra plugin or extra stuff, but you can't do a child theme of a child theme. So say you buy Genesis and you buy a child theme from Genesis, which already modifies some of the Genesis stuff, then you can't do an additional child theme to that. So it's kind of a nuisance that way. But what you could do in that manner, if you're changing CSS, you could create a new style.css file, or you wouldn't call it style.css. You would call it, you would create your custom.css, and then you would import that into the style.css page. So then you can keep a backup of that copy and things like that. So that's a really good question. Thanks. thanks so much for hanging out with the chat room. Is the chat room worth it? Does it work? Is it kind of clunky? Any feedback there? We just wanted to try something new. We want to try something that was WordPress. So let's take a look here. What kind of performance hit does the overwriting parent PHPs, et cetera, do on the site? It actually doesn't do any, like there's no, the only thing that would give a performance hit, quote unquote, is the style.css page, because that would be the only page that you're actually duplicating, because how the style.css page is working is it's actually taking all of the files, all the stuff that's in the main parent theme, and then it's adding these two things or these 100 things or whatever you add to it. And those two things are rewriting, overwriting the stuff that's already there. So you're like duplicating that, what is this, 6 lines, 8 lines of content right there. So it's not that big of a deal. Like if you go and you add a new page.php, that's actually just going to replace your current page.php. So you're not really... It's really virtually zero, unless you're adding hundreds of thousands of line of CSS, you'll see probably virtually zero issues when it comes to the when it comes to performance with a child theme. Chris asks, I would like to have a feature box header on my homepage, but then some different headers on other pages in Woo Canvas. How could you go about changing headers on separate pages? So that's a good question, Chris. That would be kind of the same process as we went through when we created the new, when we created this page.contact.php. So you would want to create, say for example, like, try to think if there's an example that I could show you online or something, but there's, I mean, depending on what you want at the top. So maybe at the top of every post, you would want, you know, something specific to those posts, like subscribe to my newsletter or, you know, something. You would create a single.php or a, you need to create a page that, I'm trying to think here. You'd have to, The way to do it is you would have to create specific template files for those individual pages. If it's a post, if it's something that goes on top of every post, you would have to do that with the single.php. And I guess I didn't really talk through the structure too much of how a WordPress theme works, but how it works is page.php, that's how every page is displayed. Index.php is how the homepage is displayed, and single.php is the full content of a post. So say, for example, on your website, engineer.com, like maybe one of the, like with the podcast episodes, if you drill down from the homepage and you click on a podcast link, then that will take you to the full page, the show notes, as I call it. That is single.php. And so I've made custom stuff in single.php. So every blog post, every show notes page is identical. And so it's just a matter of kind of going through, and you have to really think through how you want it and how many different templates that you need. There's other ways that you could do it. You could create a widget area that's, and this is way more complicated, but what you could do is you could create the header area that would be populated by information that's added as a meta field or something like that. And I know that this is kind of above and beyond what this webinar is covering, but you could do that, and then every post or page, you could create something that's a little bit differently. I hope that this makes sense, Chris. If I can expand on that in any way, just let me know. Chris asks, is there a good example of doing this via FTP? He's using CyberDuct and wondering if there are good tutorial out there how to go through and modify it just like I'm doing. You can, I mean, CyberDuck is like a lot of them. If I would open up Transmit, which is my FTP editor of choice, my FTP client, I'm trying to think what, so say this site here, Evelyn's site, this is one that I've just recently worked on, and I can go in and I can go to exactly where I need. So say I created a child theme for this one. But so she's running with 2013. Maybe I wanted to change the page template. What I would do in this instance is I would take the page.php and I would drag this onto my computer. It would download onto my computer, and then I would go back to the 2013 child theme, and then I can put this back into the 2013. And then the way that CyberDuck might work this way, the way that Transmit works is I can edit information right here. I can just open it up, and then I can make any changes as possible. So it's a little bit more cumbersome because, if if CyberDuck doesn't give you that ability to edit things right on your server, then what you'd have to do is you actually have to download it. You'd have to edit it here locally on your computer, and then you'd have to upload it back. So say, for example, I could open up this... I could open up this file here. Then I can make some changes that I needed to. I could save those, and then I would click and I would drag these back onto my server. And so that would be kind of the workflow that I would use. So that's an easy way to do it. That's probably the best the way kind of to do it. And it's kind of tricky when you're doing things live and on a server. So that's my best suggestion. Hope that helps. Mikey wants to know, I'd like to get my head around hooks. Is there a simple way to explain them? And there is. It just depends on what reference that you're looking for hooks. Is that there's some cool things that you can do with hooks, and it depends on what theme you're using. I know that Thesis is a huge one when it comes to hooks. Basically, what hooks are, and this is... kind of high level type stuff when it comes to WordPress, but basically WordPress gives us the ability to hook into how WordPress loads so that we can display certain things or we can do certain things. So say, for example, let's look at Chrome. Let's do a refresh to get this looking better. So say, for example, I wanted to display, I'm trying to think here how we can do this. Like, one of the big hooks is WP_head, and that is called out in the header file. I'll show you this in the header.php. It's the last thing that's called before the body, and this is what's called is a hook. And what we want to do is basically how plugins work, how themes work, how they add their scripts, how they add their style sheets, things like that, is they say, hey, when initializing WordPress, during the WordPress underscore header, add this content. Or, so it's basically WordPress is, and we can build these into themes. Like, every theme needs to have a WP_head, and they need to have a WP_footer in the footer so that plugins can work right and just things. It's kind of, I don't know really exactly the best way to explain it without a lot of like examples, but it's basically WordPress has given us a way so that we can hook in and we can inject different information onto our site and do things. Another thing, like there's hooks and there's filters, and a filter could give me the ability, if I wanted to, I could write a filter so that any text that's written in the title is automatically converted to uppercase, or title case or something along those lines. So filters will massage content and they'll do stuff with it. Like, if you wanted to, if you wanted to filter this, so every time you saw the word here, it replaced it with Dustin, you could do that. So if you wanted on your site, if you wanted to, every time that you mentioned something, it turned it into a post or into a link, that could be a filter. So it would be scanning all your content, looking for that specific word, and then it would replace it with a link or things like that. So there's actions, but hooks give us the ability to do that. And there's hundreds of hooks, and I know about 13 of them. There's just so many that you can use and utilize and implement when it comes to WordPress. So that's a good question. Which commenting system is better? WordPress, Discuss, Livefire, and why? How do you include Discuss or Livefire in a child theme? That's pretty simple. They're all kind of equivalent. I think WordPress, I personally like using WordPress commenting systems for the aesthetics. I mean, they look very, it usually fits in very nicely with your themes. Livefire and Discuss are a little bit different because it takes a little bit, they have their own kind of styling, and those sometimes take a little bit longer to load because they're loading information from, they're having to load the Livefire stuff, the Discuss stuff from different places. So those would be some thoughts there. Basically, how those work, though, is you just install them as plugins. So say, for example, we're still running our child theme here. We would just go to plugins and we would install a plugin, and I'll call Livefire as the one that we pick. And you just install this plugin, and it overwrites everything it overwrites the default style of WordPress. So we can activate this. I'm not sure if it will work or not because I have to register it, I think. But if we go back here, we should be able to see, No, I have to register and you have to set up. You have to use an account to get that set up. Otherwise, it would have just appeared right here as the Livefyre commenting system instead of the WordPress commenting system. So there's not one that's better or worse. You just have to look at the features you're looking for. If you want people to easily be able to log in with their Facebook, their Google Plus, their, you know, whatever social platform they may have, Discuss or Livefyre might be better, might be worse. If you like to manage your content, like I know that Livefyre, that's the one that I use on my site. I have the ability to monitor, like, from one admin page. I can see every comment that comes in from every post. So that's kind of cool. It really depends. Honestly, it's just kind of more of a preference type thing. Discuss and Livefyre, though, both of them do a much better job getting rid of spam. And so I have noticed that they do knock down a lot of spam. So if that's something that's of concern, you might want to check into those. So great question. Lynn says, so you were saying that if I want to make a child theme from the 2013 theme, would I use the code from this webinar to construct my 2013 child theme? Yeah, Lynn, that's a great question. Basically, all you'd have to do is you would still use the, here we're back at our child theme, and we would use you can use the exact same code here at the top, but of course we would call this 2013. We would want to make sure that this is called 2013, and then we just need to see where the style.css is located in 2013. So if it's at the, you know, if we can just replace, let's do this one and this one, and we can just say 2013. And I think I tried this before, but if I spelled it right, it should work in theory, but I'm not sure exactly why not. I mean, it could be because of the structure is just a little bit differently. It's all starting from scratch. So let's go, maybe if we go back over to our appearance, our themes, we're using the 20, it's still called 2011. Maybe that's why. Yeah, maybe it's because I have the folder called 2011. I don't think that really matters. I think this is the main thing. We can call this 2013. I know this isn't that important to really see if it works, but it's boggling me why that's not working. But maybe I'll get to that at the very, very end. That's a good question. But basically, you start with this this standard stuff. And like Adam said in the chat room, I do use Text Expander. I use that to just auto expand all of this stuff. And so it makes it super easy. I don't have to remember what all that code is. And then I just know that I go in and change things. The best way to set it up is obviously start this folder. You know, you call that 2013_child, and then, you know, add this code, and then you would add the style here, and then make sure everything looks good. And then you can start modifying and making some changes. So good question. Gary says, had to leave for a minute. Did Dustin actually show the modify PHP page to a significant degree? I wanted to see how this would or can be done. I did show that a little bit. There's not a lot that you can, like, you'll see this in the replay. This theme is very basic, the way that 2011, 2013, 2012, all of those are kind of built. So it takes a little bit of knowledge of how a WordPress theme is structured in order for you to make some adjustments. But basically what we're doing here is, this is very, very simple. It's taking the page, and then it's going to get the template part that's called content. And then it's showing the comments as well. So those are like the two things, the only things that are doing on this page.php. If we look at the main file, so if we go to the content-page, like this is all of the stuff that's being displayed. So we've got the header, we've got the title, we've got the content, the link to the pages, the meta information, all that stuff is being pulled into the page.php with this one command. So if I wanted to make any modifications to other things when it comes to the page.php, I would want to make a copy of the content.php into my child theme. Say, for example, I do this and I put this into my child theme, and this was called content. Let's save this real quick. So content-page. And believe me, this took me a very long time, like, to figure out when it came to learning how the structure of WordPress works. And so this isn't like, using a child theme doesn't mean you have to know everything about a WordPress. It's just a matter of like trying to find where you need to make small tweaks. So child themes are best when it's just, you know, small tweaks here or there. But you can do as much as you want. So let's say on the contact page, we have we can go back, we'll look at, do we get this fixed yet? What's going on? Let's back these things up so we can take a look here real quick. And we'll go back to our site. We are on the About Me page. So say, for example, we didn't want to display this at the top. We don't want to display the title. Well, I know in the style sheet or in the actual page content that that's right here. This is the header of the post. So I could go ahead and I could just remove this in the style, and then we could go back and look at it, and the About Me section is gone. So if you had, you know, if you never wanted to display that title right there, you could go ahead and do that. So it is, you know, is a lot of trial and error trying to figure out where things are and where how a WordPress theme works, but it's really pretty cool and a lot of things that you can do. So good question. Charlie asks, how would you move the publish date from the top of the post to the bottom? Is there a post.php or something like this where you would change this? Yeah, so Charlie, let's see here. If we go to the home page, say for example, this home page is being displayed. This is from the index.php. So how we would tackle this is we would go back to Sublime. We would look at the, or any code editor that you're using. I highly recommend Sublime. It's really nice. But we go to the index.php and we can see that let's see, we're looking here in the loop. So right here, and we have post, and then we're going to use the template part content and then get post format. So if there is just a content one, that is this is the theme. This is the file that we are going to want to modify. And so if we copy this, and this is going to be called content.php, we'll paste that and save that as content.php. And then say we wanted to change where the date was. We'll look here and it's knowing where the code is. So right here is if the post, and this is just the entry meta here. So if I take this, I can copy this. And then here's the excerpt, the links, and then I could put that right here if I wanted to. And I could save that, go back over to the Chrome, and as long as I didn't do anything, then that posted in September has been moved. And so it's all a matter of finding the code, knowing what code you need to move, and then finding it in the parent theme. And then once you found it in the parent theme, you can copy that, duplicate that content into the main or into your child theme, and then modify it to your heart's content. Brian says, thought for a future webinar, advanced child themes. Choose a dozen page post theme modifications and go through how to create each one. That's a great suggestion. Maybe that will be the next webinar that I do. Making a widgetized area has been mentioned. That would be incredibly useful. Yeah, Mikey, that's probably the best way to do that. And that's going to take, that would take a little bit of work to get set up. That's obviously more custom type stuff, but it could be done and it could be done. So it's simple that you can, the whole thing with WordPress is it's very robust. So anything that you think of, you can actually do, which is really cool, but it takes a little bit and then it's very simple. So like, for example, in your case, Mikey, how this would work is you would go, once you would put all your content for your page or your post, you could scroll down to the bottom and then at the bottom, it would say, give you a box to say, here's the header information that I should display on this page. And you can make that custom. You could call it default if there was nothing there. And then you could put in, your custom stuff for each page if you wanted to. So that would be pretty cool. Mary Ann says, instead of using Sublime Text, can you use Dreamweaver to do the exact same thing? Yes, you can. You can do the exact same thing with Dreamweaver. You can do the same thing with Coda 2, Expresso. There's a handful of different things that are out there. I'm really just kind of a newbie when it comes to Sublime. Sublime is I'm not sure exactly, maybe Adam can find where the link to Sublime Text is and paste that in the chat room somewhere. But you can download it for free. You can play with it for free. And I'm actually still using the free version because I haven't 100% committed on it. I've spent so much money on other developer tools that I'm like, I don't know if I want to spend $70 more on this one, but I think I will. It's highly customizable and you can do some really cool things. Like one of the cool add-ons that it has, and I don't know if this is in other things, and I will get to the next question here in just a second, but I thought this is really cool. I have a package installed to Sublime Text. So if there's duplicate content, so say if I say color and I say red again, it will put this little notification right here and say that on this line, on this line, the duplicate property found. So it kind of helps you write your CSS, write your code, so you're not duplicating content. Maybe if you call something improperly, or you know, that will kind of work but might generate an error, it'll tell you those things as well. So that's really pretty cool. SublimeText.com, you can find out more. So that is my little plug for Sublime Text. I get no money for telling you about them, but it is like my favorite program ever. Robert asks, what are the chances that an update to a parent theme could create an error / inconsistency to a child theme? Example, a cross-reference to a new file new file does not exist, such as the old was copied to the child theme, needing a recopy to the new file and reapply the changes. Yeah, that's an occasional thing. I think for the most part, most developers will keep the same structure of their website or the structure of their template, which is really nice, but you could run into example that they may call their page-content. They might call that, or page-contact. They might change that to page.contact-us or something goofy like that. And then what you would have to do is you could just go in and change your child theme. Just change that file name to the exact same, so it duplicates, and it will look kind of goofy as you're getting things set up. Like as you would obviously want to test, you know, when a new update comes out to a theme, you'd obviously want to do that, you know, on a test site somewhere or somewhere where you can easily back things up, so you could restore in case there was a problem. But most of the time you don't have that problem. Like you saw when I updated at the beginning, when I updated from an old version of 2011 to a newer version, that nothing happened. It's because there was like just some small tweaks that were updated. If it's a major overhaul of a theme, then there might be some issues. But for the most part, you should be okay. Robert also asks, I recall that in one of your podcasts, you or your guest mentioned that changes to a theme should be made via custom created plugin. When would you do this versus using a child theme? Okay, so this is a great question, and it is, there's ways to add custom functionality to your website. In a lot of places that you go, and you'll find them say, hey, go to, just add this line of code to your functions.php file. Add this line of code to your functions.php file. How that works is, and we didn't even create a functions.php file on our theme, but we could, you know, it's very simple. It's not, I mean, rocket science. It's the exact same way. You create a file, and then you just keep blank. You don't copy stuff from your functions.php file. You just keep it blank, and then you can add your code. Thing is, what happens with that is, if you ever would change your theme, so say for example, 10 years down the road, you want to, you know, you've added your custom post types, you added custom fields, maybe you've done, you know, you've helped Mikey out and you've got custom widget areas everywhere, and then you change themes. Now all of that code is now in your child theme, and you've got to duplicate it and move it, and you know, it just takes a little bit of effort. What I recommend is, if you're going to do any of that extra functionality, if you're trying to hook into some things or, you know, create plugin type functionality, you want to create a custom functionality plugin. And that's basically just a plugin. It's very simple to do. There's not time in this webinar for me to explain that, but that's what I would recommend. So child themes are made more for a lot of the style elements or things that are only good for that specific theme. So for example, like if you wanted to add something to a functions.php file and you only wanted it to work on that theme, you would put it in the child theme functions.php. If it's something that, you know, you always want it to work always, you know, no matter what theme they're using, that's when you would create a plugin. And that's what I have to say about that. Hope that answers the question. If not, you can leave another message. Marianne says, I guess the issue about setting up a local server is so that I edit PHP right. It doesn't really matter what program it is. Exactly. Yeah, it does not matter. You can use text editor. You know, you can use anything that will... I wouldn't go as far as say that you can use Word to do it, but you can use any type of text editor to edit the PHP files. Like if you're doing it locally, it doesn't matter what those files are. And if you do it in Dreamweaver or like something like Sublime Text, one of my favorite things about Sublime is like I can see all of my content. Like these are all the things that are in this specific folder. So I can see everything here so I can easily navigate to it. Like with Dreamweaver, that's another great system that you can import the entire folder and then it's all, you know, easily accessible via, you know, a sidebar or a menu like that. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Let's see how many more we got here. Robert asked, a file copied to the child theme will refer to other files in the parent theme. Do we need to change anything so the relative path is updated? If you are referencing paths depending on how you are, let's put it this way, Robert, depending on how you're referencing stuff will depend on whether you need to, change that in the parent theme or the child in the child theme. Sorry. How I always reference things. So if I'm wanting to put an image somewhere, I always use, and it's in my text expander, it's BBI. So I will say, like, if I want to do an image, let's just do an image here real quick. We'll put an image right here, and we'll do SRC, and we'll do an equals, and then we'll do BBI. Whoops. BBI. Of course, it's not going to work. And so what this line of PHP does is it basically says whatever my template URL is. So no matter what, it's going to look in the template URL. So if I'm using the 2011 underscore child theme, it's going to look at, okay, 2011 underscore child slash, and then I would say images slash pic dot PNG. And then, is that right? That looks good. Then I need to just close that. And of course, if I save this and go back and look at it, it's going to show like no images there because there's not an actual image there. But I could do, let me do this real quick. I could just say screenshot.png, and that will pull in the screenshot from our post. This is the screenshot that I took earlier of our child theme. And so no matter where that's, as long as that image is always inside that child theme, and I really hate to reference, you know, this is going to be at http://, you know, mywebsite.com/images/, you know, whatever, because those things change very regularly. So, this is a good little snippet of code to learn and to use and to have a text expander clip for it because it happens all the time. So this locally references and just makes it super easy. So I hope that makes sense. Oh, Marianne says, I came in late, so I don't know where the chat room is. It's actually at chat.yourwebsiteengineer.com. And the username is your name, first name, last name, and then the password is child. So you can go in and you can log in there if you like. Marianne also asks, where can I go to get reviews of paid themes such as Thesis? Or where can I go and find comparisons of paid themes such as Genesis and Thesis? This is the hardest thing that's keeping me back right now is I don't know which theme I should buy. All of them are different. I personally don't like Thesis. Thesis is a very high level theme. I mean, I like it for myself, but some of the things it's just like, I don't know how they're doing it and how things are working. But with Genesis has a lot of greats. Buying Genesis, you can get a child theme with that. I'm trying to think if there's any good places off the top of my head. I'm sure there are. I'm sure if you just do a quick Google search of like Genesis versus Thesis or Builder/Thesis, or if you want to do more drag and drop type theme customizations and not deal with child themes, then like Headway would be a perfect framework for you. But I mean, it's all about just picking one. I mean, honestly, you pick one and then you just learn it. I've actually purchased the five major ones. And I don't know if Standard's still a major one since they're no longer in business, but Genesis, Builder, Headway, and Thesis. And I've played with them and I've looked at them and I've understood them. I mean, it's a small investment to take in. I mean, I think all five of them when I bought them was like $250 or something to buy all of them. And then I can go and kind of get an idea. I probably should do a video highlighting all the different features of all of them. So maybe I should put that on my to-do list because that would be a good thing. Ben asks, when creating a site local with MAMP to test out child themes during your webinar, I get a message, sorry, I can't write wp-config.php. I ended up creating the file manually and then pasting the information that went through the install, and all was well. However, I'm curious what would cause WordPress not to be able to create this config file. When you're using MAMP, it depends on your file permissions on the folder that it's creating all those things. By default, MAMP does not give you the right access to that. It doesn't give the computer right access to it, I don't think. So you can write access to it, so you can create things. And so what you want to do is you can find where those files are, and I think it's under MAMP. If we look here real quick, I'm running MAMP as well. Let's take a look real quick. Dropbox, or it's in applications, MAMP. And another great program to use, and I haven't had a chance to really, really dive in and play with it, is called Desktop Server. And you can download that. You can do up to 3 sites for free, completely free there. But it'll give you the ability to run things locally on your computer. So go to the HT, I thought it was in the HT docs file. Guess not. Somewhere the files are stored. Oh, because I've changed where my HT docs folder is. So this is by default where your content probably is in the MAMP HT docs. I've actually changed mine to Dropbox so that I can access it everywhere. But then I gave write permissions to, I right clicked on it and I gave permissions, to, if you go to sharing and permissions, you can give everyone read write access, and that should help, I would think. That's a good question. We'll just keep continuing here. As long as you have questions, I'll be here ready to answer them. Ben has another question. He says, also, is there any configuration needed when you get a child theme free with a parent theme? Or do you need to just copy the child theme with contents that activate? Yeah, all you have to do is if you get one as part of a theme, first you install the theme, and then you install the child theme, and then you activate the child theme, and you are good to go. There's nothing else to do. Everything is set up for you, and it's perfectly, I mean, it'll work perfectly fine, right out of the box. Perfect. Chris asks, do I use Sublime Text in conjunction with FTP, or is it separate? It depends. Like, you can use, like, Mikey does say that if you use FileZilla as an FTP client, you can specify which client that you can use. I actually have a little snippet. It's actually a package that's installed with Sublime Text that I can actually, if I want to, I can automatically upload with a keyboard shortcut. So say I'm working on something on this page, I hit Control Command U F, and it automatically uploads. Like, I have to configure it all, but then it automatically uploads right to my server. So I can make the changes locally. How my workflow works is I run things local, and then I take a look. If I like what it looks like local, then I will automatically upload it to the cloud, and it just is kind of my workflow. So that's how I do it. You can use Sublime like that. You can use, I think, even Dreamweaver, I think Expresso. I think there's a lot of the developer tools now that have FTP built in that you can automatically just send you can configure it once, and then every time you save, it can upload, or every time that you command it to upload, it will upload. Otherwise, you can click and you can drag and you can move things over. Either way, it's completely fine. I find that my workflow goes a lot faster if I can do some keyboard shortcuts and automatically get things up to the cloud. Yes, I will do a webinar on custom plugins. That sounds like an excellent webinar. Let's see. Charlie says, if you hide text with CSS, will it have the adverse effects on SEO? Would it be better to find the PHP code and just remove it? I am always a proponent of getting rid of it. I don't know if you're just hiding it would do adverse things to your to SEO. I'm not an SEO expert, so I really don't know. But when in doubt, I always just remove the code. And the cool thing is with using child themes, like if you ever need the code back, like you can just go to the parent theme and find it and then add it back. Like that was my biggest thing. Like when I started developing, like, oh, a client says, well, I don't want to see, maybe on this homepage, they were like, let's go back to the homepage here. I don't want to see the posted in uncategorized or leave a reply. I don't want to see that. So I was like, well, I don't really want to remove it just in case that they want to, use it someday again, because I don't want to have to rewrite that code. So I would just comment it out and all things would be well and good. Well, that's extra, like now the web browser has to go through, it has to look through, oh, this is commented out, so I shouldn't do this. And it's just kind of a pain. So I would remove it if it's not necessary. That would be my suggestion. Gary asks, have you ever used Builder Theme? And if so, do you have any comment in comparisons to Genesis? I have used Builder Theme. Builder Theme is really kind of neat. It is more beginner friendly, let's say that. It's easier to create content with the different, I guess, let's say Builder is much easier to create different page templates. So maybe if you wanted one page to have a sidebar on the right and then another page to do a sidebar on the left, I think maybe even to, let's see, whose question was that earlier that had, Mikey had the question about the widgetized area at the top. He could easily create that as part of a page template, I believe through Builder, much easier than Genesis. Genesis is more of a framework that's pretty standard. There's not a lot of dashboard interaction. So Headway and Builder are the two that really have a lot of dashboard interactivity. But the other two, which are, you know, Thesis and Genesis, those, there's not a lot that you can do within the dashboard. You have actually have to do a lot more coding to get things to work well. Either way is fine. You know, it just depends on your preference. I'm more of a guy that wants to code things, so I know it's how it's working, but either way is completely fine. Robert says his question about the relative path was not related to adding images, but if we should be aware of any path errors that may occur now because we've copied the original file to a new location. I would say not. I would say the only things that you would have to worry about are static things that you've created. So again, if it's links, if it's images, if it's, you know, those would be the two things. If you've manually added something to a parent theme and then you've moved it to a child theme, now those URLs are probably goofed up. But I would say for the most part, you shouldn't have any problems going in and just, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about it unless it's something specific to the theme. Like most well-written WordPress themes, you wouldn't have an issue with. But if you're getting something goofy, you know, maybe you're on and you're seeing some really crazy things going on, you know, like you're to your site and like that specific page that you're working on is like broken or something's not working right, then that's when I would go in and I would start evaluating and seeing, okay, is there some sort of static link there? Is that, you know, is it referencing the wrong area? And that's why it's not working. Charlie asks, do you have a link or recommendation of where to go to learn more about how to incorporate micro data and rich snippets into themes? I don't have anything right off the top of my head. It really depends on like what you're looking for. If you're looking for like small snippets, like the snippets that are at the top of my child theme, you know, like those are just kind of standard things. As you learn about them, you can save them as a favorites or something. I think I put together a resource. I want to say for my developer training course, which I'm going to do a brief plug for that right now while we're thinking of it. But I'm doing a developer training course that is very much like this, but it goes way more in detail than what you saw today. Like obviously we learn about child themes, but I talk about how to take a HTML page and turn it into a child theme, change it into a theme. Talk about those custom plugins. Talk about building plugins. All those different types of things. If you're interested in that, yourwebsiteengineer.com/awdt. Has all the information. It's not quite updated for the next session. The next session will be taking place in October of 2013. But your question about, I think for that course, I created a one-page sheet that has a lot of the snippets very similar to, where did I put that? In the content page. So the blog info, I believe I have a document with that in there. If I do, I will add that as part of the download that you get as part of this video. Gary says, I'm looking at Sublime. Do you know if there's any video demo on how to get used to get a good idea of the available features? Yes, I have a perfect resource for you. It is called, Sublime Text. And then Tuts Plus, there's a free, I think this one's it. Yep. A perfect workflow in Sublime Text, a free course. This one is one that I think this one's it. I will add a link to this as well. Here it is. This is the free one, right? I'm not signed in. Yeah, so you can go and it's 38, 14, 47. It's about maybe 2.5 hours worth of stuff, maybe not quite that long, but it really goes through and tells you a lot of really cool things that you can do with Sublime Text. So I'll include that as part of this page as well, so you can see this and get an understanding of how Sublime Text works. Awesome question. Anything else? Looks like I think I've answered everything. Thanks so much for hanging out. Thanks for being a part of this. I hope to bring you more valuable like developer level stuff. Is this something that you guys are interested in? Leave a message in either of the places if you're interested in more kind of high level type stuff like this. I know that, you know, the basic stuff a lot of people like, but I also really like teaching this type of stuff and doing this as kind of as a side thing. So I'm thinking about maybe doing 2 webinars per month if that's that might be a thought, I don't know, of doing a live one or an easier one or for, you know, more beginner of WordPress and then more advanced type people. So let's see. Mikey also says, anyone know a handy resource to summarize the WordPress theme file structure? I don't know if there's a good place for that as well. I'll have to see. I don't know if there's a good place. I would just start Googling like WordPress file theme direct or like the WordPress theme structure, and I'm sure things will come up. It will kind of lay out how themes work, how WordPress works, and things along those lines. So awesome stuff. Brian wants more high level content. That's awesome. I would love more high level content as well. It helps me to really know what's going on and really helps me as well. So, anything else? Any other questions? Last call when it comes to questions. Thank you so much for spending some time with me today. Sorry it took a little bit longer. You know, it's going on 80 minutes here, but thanks for sticking with me and hanging out wherever you are in the world. Rhonda wants more WordPress stuff, high level stuff. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun today. I know that I think you guys did. Whoa, there's more questions. Okay. Thanks. Want to see more? Looking for good value. Looking to see more. Awesome. Awesome stuff, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for just coming out, hanging out with me today. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your Friday or Saturday, depending on what side of the world you're on. And I look forward to chatting with you at the next webinar. Just keep an eye out on yourwebsiteengineer.com. I'll have links when I've got new stuff. And of course, I'll be updating them via the episode, each episode each week when it comes to the podcast. So if you haven't checked that out, go ahead and check out yourwebsiteengineer.com and 140 plus episodes of just can't live without WordPress content. So if you're really pumped from what you learned today, that'd be a good place to start. So with that, have a great day and we'll talk to you all soon. Take care. Bye-bye.